All right. If you notice on your bulletin, the title of the sermon is different in the bulletin and on the screen. When I was preparing the PowerPoint this morning, this title came to my mind. I like this title better. So we're just using this. It's Ready Prayer One. So I'm laughing to myself a lot because there is a movie, I think, by Steven Spielberg, Ready Player One. Yeah, it's about video games, but Jesus is talking about prayer, not player. And I think it's funny because in Japan, there is no L and no R. There is pureya. And so I like that. I like this. Also, this is part one of a two-sermon set. And is so next week will be Ready Prayer Two. So I know. I make myself laugh, which is more important. All right, so Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 9, and a very important passage where Jesus is teaching us about prayer. So, before we go there, something I've been learning over the past maybe 2 years now about prayer, something I'm focusing on in my own private prayer life, is that my prayers are not trying to move the hand of God, but more about molding my heart, molding the heart of man. So I don't want my prayers only to be, God, do this, please. God, I want this, so please make it happen. I don't want only for God to do my will, but I'm learning and I'm focusing my prayer to understand God's will, and instead of God, do my will in Jesus' name, I'm trying to learn how to say, God, please have your way. So it's not about moving the hand of God, but about molding the heart of man. So I love what we sang in the song that Maria introduced to us today. I don't know if it's there. Here, the third verse. Here, shape our yearnings to the gospel of your Son. Mold our hearts to your desires, your will. So I'm not trying to move your hand. I'm asking you to mold my heart. And that's what I believe this phrase is about. Free our hearts, free our minds from the war that sin will wage till you arrive. So I'm asking you not to change my situation, God, not to change my circumstance, but most important, Lord Jesus, change me. Amen? So that's what I'm learning and focusing on in my prayer life these days. So we're going to read Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. I'll read verses 5 and 6, and please join me at verses 7 through 9. So here's the word of the Lord. Matthew chapter 6. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Let's read together. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as I said, we're talking about prayer in the next couple of weeks. Actually, this is a mini-series that Jesus is teaching about your religious life. The foundation, the basics of the Christian religion. What do Christians believe, and what do Christians do? And here in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 18, it's very specific about what Christians do as a religion. And what Jesus calls it is righteousness. And he says, when you practice your religion to follow me, it's called righteousness. And be careful, there's three things you can look at. Giving to the poor, praying, and fasting. Oh, I'm looking forward to studying about fasting and sharing with you what I found. So, we talked about our giving to the poor last week and how Jesus taught us our motivations and our practice. But you'll notice the pattern. If you have your Bible open, if you look at verses 2, 3, and 4, you'll notice it's very similar to verses 5, 6, 7, and 8, where he's talking about motivations. So, as you can see, he talks about giving to the poor. He says, when you give to the poor, don't be like the hypocrites who want to be seen by others, whether it's blowing the trumpets on the streets or in the synagogues. He says, your motivation is not for public recognition. Your motivation is for private reward. For when God, who is unseen, sees what you do in secret, he will reward you. And so Jesus is talking about our motivation for giving, but also our motivation for prayer. Now, please understand, Jesus says, this is amazing, you don't have one without the other. That's Christianity. That's following Jesus. If you're not giving to the poor, you don't understand what it is to pray as someone who is spiritually poor. And the more that you're praying and giving your heart to God, the more he gives you a desire for the poor. He is shaping and molding your heart for the gospel. And in Jesus' mind, one is not without the other. Giving to the poor and praying go hand in hand. So, a couple of things. As we can see from our text, this is Jesus teaching on prayer. There's two things he's giving us by contrast. Contrast is the conduit of comprehension. So we can, conduit to clarity, excuse me. We can see and understand one when we understand the opposite, or its contrast. So there's two things that we see. There's tradition, traditional prayer, and then there's techniques. And I love it because Jesus is showing us two groups of people that even exist today because they've always existed. The first is those who pray based on tradition, culture. So you'll notice in verses 5 and 6, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. And where are the hypocrites? They're in the synagogues, which are the religious meeting places, like the temple in Japan for Buddhists, or the temples in the, Buddhist temple, Shinto shrine, temples and shrines. And so they're in their synagogues gathering religiously. They're standing up, they're praying, and it's public. Or they're in the street corners. Now, what is the street corners? It's not like here, when you go down the street, and then there's the corner of this street, and then the Musashi. That's not it. The street corner in ancient Israel was the center of the city. It's where all of the streets meet in one place. That's the corner. So it's like the Hiroba, right? Or the Shinai, the very downtown of the street. And so there's this religious people who want to go into the public place and show everyone that they are religious. Or it's their tradition. And so there are people, most of us here. Who are you? Why are you a Christian? For most people in the church, they're Christian because they grew up in a culture that had plenty of churches. They grew up in a family where they were raised to pray, to go to church, and they do it because it's their kind of cultural tradition and it's their identity. And I'll be honest, I'm a Christian because my grandparents, my mom, took me to church. I was baptized because my aunt asked me directly, when do you want to get baptized? I'm honest about it because that's my tradition. And so Jesus says, here's the problem with that. If praying is part of your tradition and culture, the problem is, do you know that you have a relationship with God? On the outside, where everyone can see you, yes, it looks like you have a relationship with God. You're out in the street corners, you're in the synagogues, people can see you. So, but do you really know if God sees you? Everybody else can see you, but how do you know God sees you? And so he looks at the people who pray with tradition. Now, I love Mitaki, especially the English service, because I know there are here today, those who did not grow up as a Christian, those who became a Christian as an adult, those who were baptized as an adult. My wife was baptized as an adult. She's the only Christian in her family. I have more respect for her than myself because she became a Christian despite her culture, not because of her culture. But there's a second group Jesus talks about. It's the technique group. And he uses this group called, the pagans who are babbling. So, in verses 7 and 8, he says, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. So I said before, pagan is a word in Greek. It's called, he uses ethnikos. It's the word we use for ethnic group. It means non-Jewish people, the other ethnicities, the non-Jewish ethnicities. So usually in other places in the Bible, it's translated as nations. The reason why they say pagan in this translation is because the people of other nations don't worship the God of the Jews. What is he talking about? Jesus is talking about those who don't worship Yahweh, but also those who are not religious like the Jews were. And the way they prayed is not so much by tradition, but by technique. And he says here, he says, who think they will be heard because of their many words. And he uses this word babbling. All right, so you have to understand what babbling means. Sorry. Babbling, people think it might be reciting something or repeating something. It's not that. The word babbling in the Greek, it means intense, passionate, and heavy volume of words. It means that people who are just God, like rapid fire, machine gun prayer, with very passionate and emotional prayer, they think they will be heard by God. That's what Jesus is talking about. Now, I'll confess, I love that prayer. I love that technique. Since I was young in college, when I get fired up and I'm praying with my brothers and sisters, we would start praying, you know, just like stream of consciousness. And whatever comes to mind, and you're just praying as at the speed of your thought, and it's going, and you get heated, and people are saying, amen, yes, Lord, amen, yes, Lord, and make it happen in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and yes, and you have all these phrases and set patterns that you use, and you know what I'm talking about, don't you, right? And I love praying with Grace before the service and even during the service, because me and Grace, we'll just go back and forth in this rapid fire, just all out, everything goes, prayer. And I learned this week as I'm studying this, that's the word babbling, is intense, passionate, emotional, high volume content of words. And Jesus says, you don't need that. You don't need emotions. But wait a second. How about, have you read the Psalms, Jesus? In the Psalms, it's all passion, all emotion, lamenting, rejoicing, crying out to God. Okay, yeah, it's there. It's there. But be careful to rely on pattern, emotion, formula, technique when you're praying. Because what you'll understand is they both have something in common, whether it's tradition or technique, whether you were in your culture brought up religious or if you're just learning to pray, that both of these have something in common. Number one, you think God will answer you. You think God will hear you based on your performance. Well, I'm in church. Well, I'm here in this room with other people. They're saying amen together with me. Well, we're here and we're on our knees. We're praying out, we had our hands up, we're shouting to the ceiling. God, you have to hear us. You have to. You owe us this. If not, what's the point of doing all of this? That's the danger of the one. But also another danger is, for many people, for the hypocrites, well, actually for both, we're trying to use God to get what we want. When Jesus is teaching us, no. If you're my disciple, you're using the things you have to get God. It's the other way around. And so many people think, who pray with technique or tradition, they're not really focusing on the relationship. They just want the thing. the circumstance, the situation, heal this, provide this, comfort with this, progress and prosperity and blessing on this. That's part of it. I'm not saying that's not prayer. But if you're using God through these techniques, or you're using God because it's your tradition, Jesus is saying, that's not prayer. He says what both of these need, whether it's tradition or technique, they need the gospel. They need prayer that's based on the gospel. So here's what Jesus gives to us. He gives us two things that will help us stay away from tradition and get out of techniques. The answer to both is, number one, secret prayer. I love it, I love it, I love it. Yeah. Secret prayer. Jesus says you can shout, lift up your hands, dance, shake, jump up and down, rock all you want. How much time are you spending in your room by yourself? Because that is the antidote for the public recognition. That's how you know. Look, giving, that's in public. Right? Everybody's going to see it one way or another. Even if you can try to keep it a secret, but somebody's going to know when you give. Fasting, that's also a cultural thing. You do it in a context. We'll talk about that later. But that's seen. Most of your Christian life is seen by others. Serving, giving, praising, fellowshipping, praying, except for secret prayer. How do you know you're really praying? How do you know that you're doing it not for anybody else? You do it in secret. How much time do you spend in quietness by yourself? Okay, the second thing is grace. Grace. Yeah, I love that we have Grace here, and then Jim's daughter, her name is Grace. Grace is the big word for the gospel. Yeah. Actually, Jesus focuses on that word grace. He doesn't use the word grace. He uses the word Father, right? So from verses 1 through 18, Jesus uses the word Father 9 times. Why is he emphasizing the word Father? Why? I love it. Because your relationship shows your faith. So here's what I mean. I have a daughter. 5 boys, 1 daughter, 6 children. My one daughter, I love her way more than all 5 boys. Yeah. I don't have a favorite, okay? But I love my daughter way more than my boys. Okay? No favorites. But my daughter is worth 10 sons in my heart. Okay? All right. Now, we have Japanese-style bedroom. The small ones sleep with mommy and daddy. So our 5-year-old twins, the boy and the girl, they sleep in the bed with us. All right? Now, if my daughter is coughing in the middle of the night, she, you know, kicks me, she pushes me, she says, Daddy, I want some water. Of course, right? I'm going to get her water in the middle of the night, right? I don't care if she's been a bad girl all day, if she's been treating her brothers mean, if she doesn't finish her food, if she doesn't eat her vegetables, doesn't matter. It's not based on her performance. I'll give her what she needs based on my relationship with her. If she's doing her homework, if she's doing the, doesn't it matter, right? It's not her performance, it's our relationship. Why? I'm her father. It's different. If I start coughing, I start pushing and kicking my wife. I say, honey, I need some water. What's she say? Get it yourself. Right? It's a different kind of relationship. Okay? Or if I'm with my boss at work and I'm not doing well at work, I'm not performing, I'm not doing my job, I'm not teaching well, I'm not coaching right, they can fire me. Okay? I cannot fire my daughter. I love her. I'll give her everything she needs unconditionally by grace. It's not based on her performance. It's different from any other relationship, right? And so Jesus is teaching his disciples, your God created you. He is your master. He is your Lord. God is your king. You obey, you trust, you follow. But when you pray, he is not just your king or your master, he is your father. He is your father. And so that is the gospel. The gospel is Jesus. Through Jesus, we have a father to whom we can pray. To all who received Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children, the word there, that we should be called the sons of God. The sons of God. And that is what we are. Jesus, who is the Son, became an enemy so that we who are enemies can become sons through the cross. Amen? That's the gospel. And because we have a relationship with the Father, our prayer is all about the relationship. All right, now you're ready to pray. Ready prayer, part one. So, I want to give you something practical. This is not a technique. This is a tool to help you pray. Now, some of you, you've noticed since last year, I've been wearing a bracelet. And this is a bracelet that I make. It's one of my hobbies. I've been making it since spring last year. And what it's called is prayer rope. I started using these things because I noticed that when I prayed, my mind would wander, and I couldn't focus. I mean, I'd pray for something, and then, seriously, two sentences into my prayer, I'm thinking about other things. So I needed something. So I have a Catholic priest who gave me his Catholic rosary, right? Beads. So I need something. So I started using that. And the thing is, it was too long. I wanted something small that I could use at my desk and I could just pray quietly, right? So I started looking online and I found on YouTube these prayer ropes that the Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox Church uses. They're called komboskini or chotsky. And you can make them yourself. So I looked up how to make them, and that's, you know, my hobby now. I make one every night. And I just use this to help me pray. And it's a tool. Now, I'm not going to go too much into the explanation of how I use it. I'll save that for next time. But the reason I make so many is my goal is to give it as a Christmas gift to the church. So at Christmas this year, I'm going to give for free to all the members of the Japanese service. But because the English service is special, I'm going to give it to you first. All right? So I brought all of them, all the ones that I've made, all the sizes, all the varieties, all the colors, Okay. Sorry. Yeah. And so after the service, when we dismiss, I want to invite you to come and take one, two, three, however many you want. Okay? And you can use it for prayer. From now. I have all the different sizes here. These are the ring sizes. Recently, I like these, the small ones. But I use them not just for praying, but for when I meditate and when I memorize scriptures. It's really useful. So I'm just going to lay them out on the table. If you want the big one, grab a big one. If you prefer a small one, take a small one. If you want both, get both. If you want different colors, take different colors. You get priority, okay? And I know there's not all of us are here, so I'm going to bring it again next week for the second sermon on prayer. So if you take one, you use it this week and think, I don't like it, you can bring it back and trade it for next week for a different one. It's up to you, okay? So, but it's my gift, and I have one condition. Every time I give this as a gift to people for birthdays or for like omiyage or souvenir, oh, they say, oh, Chris, you can sell these. You know, you can get some money for them. And I said, do not say that. This is not for money. This is for prayer. Yeah. One person asked me, can you make one as an anklet? This is not fashion. Okay. This is for prayer, for your relationship with the Lord. And it's something practical that you can use. I can tell you all about the system and what I do, but you'll figure it out, I think. You know how to do it, too. So, yeah. So, I'll pray, we'll sing, we'll do the benediction, and then please come and feel free to take whatever you like as a gift. All right, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Please, Lord, help us to pray in secret as much and more than we pray in public. Help us to close the door behind us, to have a relationship with you more than a relationship with anybody else. Thank you for being our Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's all stand and we'll sing our closing song together.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. Accepted, you were condemned, and I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. Spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Church. Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are
Father, thank you for gathering us today, filling this beautiful place with beautiful music. But Father, as we go from here, we ask that you fill us with your Spirit, that as we are filled, we would have the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and goodness, gentleness and faithfulness, and self-control. And for these good things, we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, please come on up and get a prayer rope for yourself. Dozo, dozo. Yeah, yeah, yeah.